Well, today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Delta Airlines says the way to remove conflict over seats reclining on the plane is to fix the seats so they don't recline so much. Never mind that a little more legroom would result in the same solution, only more comfort. And the famous United Dentist speaks out after 2 years of silence.
In our Smarter Traveler segment coming up at 3:20, Mark explains why United's devaluation of their award chart is the end of mileage awards as we have known them.
At 3:35, we take you. This is really cool. This is really cool. At 3:35, we take you on a journey to Tuscany with Tuscan women cooking. It is an exciting way to experience culinary tourism at its best.
Each summer at Jack London State Park in the Sonoma Valley, this is also very cool. They present a variety of great shows under the stars, and we're going to hear all about it and hear about this year's lineup. That's all coming up at 3:50.
From Napa to Tuscany, from dentists with broken teeth to seats where you need Crisco to slide into. All those stories coming up next right here with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
All our bonding and man.
I come from a land long ago.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here every Sunday, 3 to 4, and travelguysradio.com. There you can follow along and get links to our guests and what we talk about here on the show, along with a whole bunch of other cool travel information. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for joining us at your end. Mark, good to see you, my friend. How was your week?
It was good, 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 good. I was in New York City and Washington, D.C., and made it back home here to Sacramento. And of all those places, I think I would. In fact, I have something I want to show you here.
Okay, what do you got?
See, look at the picture there on the cell phone.
Okay. Oh, look what you got. You got Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And it looks like, he is getting his shoe shined.
He was. He's in Union Station, and he starts, I get off my, let me go back over here.
Okay.
To my microphone here so people can hear me. We get off the train at Union Station, and I'm walking in, and I see all these people taking pictures. Well, not all of them, a few people taking pictures, and so I walk over, and there's Joe Biden getting his shoe shined. So one person in the crowd asks him a question, and he answers it. Another person asks him a question, and he answers it.
You know,
and
a little press conference.
We're sitting
going
there, yeah, for about 3-4 minutes, and I turn around, and there was like five or six of us, and I turn around, there's like 100 people there all of a sudden. So anyways, I don't. Joe Biden's not a favorite or a disfavorite of mine on either side, but it was kind of fun just to brush with fame. Yeah, exactly. Got to rub slight elbows with Senator Feinstein. She walked into a tourism meeting that we were up on Capitol Hill,
right,
doing a little lobbying as we do once a year for the tourism industry.
How did that go? Did you get a chance to get together with Doris at all?
It didn't go all that well this year. The Democrats were all across the river because it was 100, they were celebrating 100 days since they took over the House of Representatives, and the Republicans had all left town. So it was mostly meeting with staffers and stuff like that. But really, as I've said before on this show, if you have a good relationship with the staff member that handles the area of the issue that you're presenting, and travel issues tend to be somewhat bipartisan.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can get to the right person, oftentimes you get better results. It was nice to have Senator Feinstein walk into the meeting with her staff member the other day and spend 15 minutes asking us about questions and that what was important to the travel industry. But the reality is that she has a lot of things on her mind, and she's not likely to remember a whole lot of that. So the staff member is the person that, you know, when the issue comes up, will go and say, you know, here, she will go to the staffer and say, what do you have on this? What do we know about this?
The staffer is taking notes.
Yes, exactly. So sometimes you don't always want to meet with the representative. You want to meet with the staffer. But an impromptu press conference in Union Station can always be kind of interesting and fun too. Here's something that's interesting. It was on Christopher Elliott's website. A guy says this is the strangest charge ever in a hotel. The hotel was actually, they put a surcharge on the room to pay for a charitable donation.
Okay, that is a little out of the ordinary.
Yeah, a little bit weird. I mean, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next Smarter Traveler segment. So perhaps we should just get on and do what we usually do at this time of the
program. Right, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we do our best to bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. So with that, Huey and Lewis in the canoes, take us into the travel news with Mark. Mark, what do you got?
Well, let's see here. We have got, the MAX 8 airplanes, American Airlines, took them off their schedule. We told you last week that Southwest had taken them off into the end of May. Now American has taken them off till the first part of July, till August. Southwest will do the same. What does this mean for travelers? What it means is there will be no empty middle seats this summer. Basically, no matter what airplane that you're flying on, planes are going to be full. Fares are not going to be put on sale as much because basically you've taken about 5 or 6% of the entire capacity in the sky out of circulation. So it's going to mean that there will be fewer tickets available at the last minute at cheap prices. So if you are planning on going someplace this summer, particularly if you're traveling with Southwest Airlines that doesn't charge a fee for canceling or changing a flight, you might want to consider making that reservation as soon as possible because there's going to be more demand and less supply this summer because of the fact that those MAX 8 and MAX 9 aircraft are not going to be in the air. So it's a good idea. You're not going to see as much in terms of excess supply this summer.
Well, you know, I got a nice, and others probably did too. I got a nice letter from Tom Nelson, with president of Southwest, and letting everybody know that you know, they're aware of what's going on, and they've already began to juggle their schedules. And, you know, it was a letter to basically, you know, customer service, a reach out to let them know that, you know, they're aware of the issues and are going to do their best to make sure that nobody is inconvenienced and that you get the value out of your ticket the best you can. And that was about it.
By being proactive reaching out to people now and making these decisions now, it will make it a lot easier. If the planes happen to show up, then, and this all gets cleared up, and the MAX 8s are, I'm almost about to fall out of my chair here, and the MAX 8s are back in the sky, then we'll have some more flights, and that'll be great. But for right now, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So again, my advice to you as a traveler is, summertime is you're going to have a hard time finding a great fare anyway. So if you find one, latch on to it, finalize and make your travel plans as early in the summer as you possibly can, because July is going to be a tight month. There is no question about that. I found an interesting article in the Bee last week, Tom, about people. I'll probably get a letter or two about this, but I don't really care. People complaining that who live close to the airport that the planes make too much noise when they take off. And I would just like to point out something, that if you move into a home that's close to the airport and you didn't do your homework and your real estate agent didn't do your homework and the planes flying over bother you, I would just say that, in my humble opinion, that's not my fault.
Well, you know, I don't think we have more planes. We might have some more flights, but the planes aren't getting any louder. So, yeah, it's kind of buyer beware. You know, and there's one part of our community where they have a, what's it called? It's a plant. What's the term of a plant that takes carcasses and burns them? There's a name for it.
Rendering plant?
Yeah, that's it. Okay. And there's a rendering plant in a particular part of town. And, you know, if you buy a house that's within a certain distance from the rendering plant,
you're going to smell the rendering plant.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, buyer beware.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in this case, too, in all fairness, in 2015, the FAA changed the flight patterns in and out of the Sacramento airport slightly. So what the folks are saying is that they'd like to go back to the old patterns. And also, they're going to develop. There's a huge development going in up north of the airport, which is going to create some problems up there. So All I would say on a situation like that is please do your homework. I mean, if you're going to move next to an airport here or anywhere else, you might want to Airbnb it and go live in a place near there for a couple, 3 days and just see if it's a factor or if it's something that, you know, my family for years lived over here off of Edison Avenue, and we were in the flight path from McClellan Air Force Base, mm-hmm. and we were about a mile from the end of the runway. And so the noise was deafening on occasion, but the noise was like that. I mean, it was before we moved in and while we lived there and for a while after we were gone till they closed McClellan. So it wasn't like it was a surprise to anybody, but it did feel like they were landing in your living room on occasion. Delta Airlines has cut back how far you can recline your seat. This is a perfect example of a corporation, of a big corporation, creating a press release that leads you down the primrose path when it's not so primrose. Delta sends out this thing and says, our customers are having problems on the planes. They're getting into fights and arguments. And we've decided the best way to do this is if the seats don't recline so much, people won't be getting literally in each other's faces about reclining seats. So what I will suggest to them is that if the seats were still as far apart as they were 20 years ago, this wouldn't be an issue. But they've already cut the recline on the seat. We've already been down this path before because as the seats have gotten closer together, of course, somebody putting a seat back 2 or 3 inches can mess up your computer or can just make you claustrophobic or whatever. And of course, the person in front of you is going to say, well, you know, I'm kind of entitled to that space. So now, of course, if you fly on Spirit Airlines, they'll be in town soon. Their seats are pre-reclined for your convenience.
Pre-reclined.
Remember, whenever you hear that
pre-reclined,
whenever you hear that phrase for your convenience, it's never good.
It's never really for your convenience.
Here's another thing for your convenience. American Airlines is adding seat coupons for flyers. You will be able to earn coupons to get those coveted American, what do they call them? They don't call it comfort class. Let's see here.
You mean coupons?
Advantage. Yeah, the preferred seats, you know, the extra legroom seats. So you'll be able to earn those and be able to get earn a seat waiver so that you can get that better seat without having to pay for it.
Okay.
So what the airlines have done is created an artificial value, and now they're going to make you happy when you quote win one.
There you go.
Of them.
Is that a coupon or a coupon?
There'll be four versions that you can collect. Mm-hmm. And so they've not announced when the program will go live to the general public. We will keep you posted. Also, American Airlines has discreetly introduced a new plane. That would be the A321 Airbus. And the cool thing about this is that, once again, here's an example of this wonderful press release. And it isn't until the last paragraph that you find out that it has 196 seats, which is coincidentally an increase of 15 seats from the last A321 aircraft. The inside of the cabin has not gotten any bigger. So I'll leave you to do the math and figure that one out. Here's a man who randomly touched the faces of passengers. American Airlines didn't have a good week. This was on Friday. A 25-year-old man touched the faces of other passengers as he went down the aisle of the plane after the plane had landed and was taxiing to the gate, sprayed them with an unknown substance. The plane got to the gate. The flight crew had sustained the man towards the front of the aircraft, and when they pulled up to the gate and they were waiting for the door to open, he opened the door on the other side and jumped out.
No.
Yeah. Sustained some injuries and was arrested.
Man.
The doctor who was dragged screaming from the United Airlines plane has finally broken his silence. It's been 2 years. He must have gotten a tremendous amount of money. He didn't really have much to say, except that, you know, they dragged him out of his seat and he didn't hold any grudge because the officers had a job to do. So he said so little. And it was 2 years after this had happened, almost to the day. I'm going to suggest to you there's a story there. That he had there was some kind of a rule with whatever settlement he got that he had to wait 2 years. And when the time came to say something, that there were only certain things that he could say.
You got that right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're just saying.
You know, just for, you know, giggles or whatever here. To Tina Turner's story, tickets are on sale on Broadway. Now previews begin in October and the show debuts in November. And I think that's about it. That's your travel news for today.
Can't wait to find out who's going to play Tina Turner. That should be fascinating. All right, coming up next on The Travel Guys, we're here to make you a smarter traveler. Mark's going to explain why United's devaluation of their award chart could be the end of mileage awards as we know them. That's next.
All the leaves are brown.
What are you rambling about?
Oh, nothing. How are you? Welcome. It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom.
It's only 20 minutes after the hour, and both of us have almost fallen out of our chairs already.
I know. I don't know what's going on in the studio today.
I look up over there after I finally get settled into mine, and I look up, and you're challenged with yours.
Well, you know, we have some new people handling the anchoring here at KFBK. Wonderful.
Yep.
And Sam and Christina and so forth. And
yep.
Everybody's adjusting their space. And they're getting different chairs. I like this chair. I don't like that one.
Sam's a Dodger fan? Because we walked in today to those pictures of Kershaw.
Double screens.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure. I think Mr. Pat Walsh may be responsible
for
this.
You think so?
Dan Mitchison was. And when I would come in, they would
Doesn't the station have some sort of policy about hiring all these Dodger fans or something like
they
that?
I mean, really and seriously. Absolutely.
Speaking of sports here on a travel show, did you happen to catch that moment earlier today when Tiger Woods won the Masters? I just happened to have the TV on, and that was really cool. I mean, for that gentleman has been to the top of the mountain and been to the back down to where the river
bottom
flows.
Of the valley.
Exactly.
And now back up again.
If you own a store that sells golf equipment or something like that, today was a big day for you.
I would think.
Because a lot of people, or if you advertise on golf broadcasts or something, your audience just went up pretty...
The match was very, very early. They started them very, very early.
Yep.
It all finished, I don't know, by noon or before.
Mm-hmm.
And so the television stations are playing it a second time from the start.
Well, and you can't blame them for that. I mean, Tiger Woods was great for ratings before, and they've all lamented his absence. So the fact that he's back and in such grand style, and so good for him. Let's see here. Smarter Traveler segment. Wanted to talk a little bit about last week, United Airlines announced that they had done what Delta Airlines did a few years ago, and that is they floated their award chart. So for those of you who belong to frequent flyer award programs, what it means is that it used to be that if you wanted a coach ticket on United Airlines, the maximum it would cost you was 50,000 miles, 25,000 miles in each direction. It could be less than that, but it could not be available, but it could never be more than that. A first class ticket was twice that, 50,000 each way or 100,000 maximum. So what United Airlines has done is they have said, you know what, on some of the short runs, like if you just want to go to Los Angeles from Sacramento, maybe we don't need to charge you 25,000 miles for that. Maybe we'll just charge you 10,000.
So it's not relative to the price of the ticket?
Well, it didn't used to be. So United announced about a month ago that some of these short hauls were maybe going to be a few less miles. Well, what that was a precursor to the bad news. And the bad news was that they were going to float the rest of the award chart. So from now on, you can't go to United's award chart and say, okay, myself and my husband want to go first class to New York City or to Paris in the fall, and this is how many miles we will need, and this is how many we have, so this is how many we have to earn by whatever in the meantime. Because when it comes time to buy those miles, you may very well find out that the goalposts have moved. So it's possible they could be less miles. It's a lot more likely that they will be more miles. As an example, was looking at an award ticket for a family member over Thanksgiving to go to Hawaii. 100,000 mile ticket before the change. After the change a week and a half ago, 276,000 miles for the same ticket.
Was that round?
So that's round trip.
Round trip, wow.
So
it doubled it.
What's going to happen here is United and Delta have done this. These airlines are not stupid. Everything they do is in concert within a few weeks of each other, so you can expect American to follow. Now, Southwest for many years has had an award chart that is based on the cost of the ticket. So you pay so many points per dollar of the cost of the ticket, and you multiply that out, and it's an easy way to figure out. So when Southwest tickets are on sale, you spend fewer miles for the ticket, and when they're not, you spend more miles. When it's a date that everybody wants to fly, the ticket costs more, so it costs more miles. It's always been that way from the beginning, and while it does float a little bit, you at least have an idea what you might pay. So for this whole United Delta thing, it's going to be a lot different.
Do you anticipate that Southwest may follow suit at any
time? I don't think so. I think Southwest was smart enough to sort of do theirs that way to start with. And so theirs is value-oriented. And the United one, now they've gone to the Delta model. It's not good news for travelers in any way, shape, or form. And the bloggers and the guys who really are the expert mile collectors, you used to be able to snag one of these first-class business or first-class tickets overseas, and you could get them for 150, 200,000 miles, and it would be a ticket that otherwise would cost $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. That's going to go away because now they're going to price those tickets miles-wise commensurate to what their prices are online. So the great deals on the long-distance upscale travel are going to go away. The great deals on short travel are going to go away, and you're never going to really know how many miles your ticket is going to cost. And don't be fooled. The airlines are advertising that, well, hey, lots of awards will cost less, and that may be the case in some instances, but a whole lot of awards are going to cost more, and that's just the way the game is played. So as we have mentioned to you before, if you are collecting airline miles, hotel points, whatever, you get the number that you need for what it is that you want, spend them. They are a currency that changes in value, and over time, they have never gone up. So they're likely not to be worth as much tomorrow as they are worth today. Also, another little note to make you a smarter traveler. During the last break, there was an advertisement for a timeshare company. These are popping up all over. This is not the first one I've heard recently, but companies that will help you get out of your timeshare. This, my comments are not to reflect. I don't even remember the name of the company that was advertising on our program, and thank you to them for advertising here. But it's just like buyer beware on timeshares, seller beware on timeshares. Many times these folks want a fee up front. You don't, and there's no guarantee they're going to sell your timeshare. So be very careful when you're going to unload a timeshare. You could get skewered as bad on the unload as you did on the purchase. So just be careful. Do your homework on those sorts of things. Tom, I know you're a timeshare holder yourself.
I am. I can hardly wait till my next maintenance fee announcement. Actually, we just did it. Mine, over the period of about 10 years.
Wait,
yeah. 08? Yeah. Has gone up more than doubled.
Before you buy a timeshare, remember there are property taxes, maintenance fees, and you can always buy a timeshare cheaper by buying it on the secondary market than on the primary market. But when you're going to sell a timeshare, be careful. Do your homework. All right, when we come back after the news, we are going to go to Tuscany and talk about a wonderful vacation that will immerse you and teach you how to cook in Tuscany, and then we're going to take you to Jack London State Park for outdoor theater this summer. Lots of things coming up on the second half of The Travel Guys.
Hello there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are your travel and entertainment guys. Thanks for taking some time out of your day. Don't forget now, follow along with us at Travel Guys Radio. We'll have links to just about everything, including a link to our guest that we're about to have on the radio with you right now. Mark, why don't you tell us who we're going to talk with?
Tom, we have something I think really interesting here, particularly for people who like to eat or who like to cook.
Yeah, that'd be me.
Yeah, I was going to say that might involve my broadcast partner here. These are ladies who run Tuscan Women Cook, and joining us on the phone is Rhonda Villardo. And Rhonda is one of the Tuscan Women Cook, along with her partner in business, Colleen. Rhonda, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about your product. You know, basically, what is it, and when does it go, and what is it about?
Okay, well, our product is a week-long, full immersion cooking program. We are in a tiny little village in Tuscany. 500 people live in this village, so it's a really small little hilltop town. And the women who teach us how to cook are the little Nonas of the village. Hence the name Tuscan Women Cook, because the Tuscan women of that village are the ones that are teaching you how to cook. So we cook every morning. We enjoy lunch with wine, having learned what we made. We take a little riposino, as we say in Italy, a little rest during the day. And then every afternoon we go out on an excursion, either to another little hilltop village or cheese tasting or a wine tasting. And then we end with dinner at an amazing restaurant each night. So that is the gist of the program.
You mentioned culinary immersion. What is culinary immersion? Explain.
Well, the immersion is due to the fact that we're in such a tiny little village. You know, our groups are 15, 16 people. So the residents of the village just treat you like friends and family. And again, because the little nonas of the village, they're teaching you how to cook their generations old recipes. So the immersion part is because you're really off the beaten path. And as I said, the people really are treating you like friends and family. I mean, you come on this vacation and you think you're just going to go see Tuscany, and you leave feeling, you know, I mean, you leave a little piece of your heart there because you really bond with the people in the village. So that's really the immersion part. We're not in Rome or Florence or Venice or these big, exciting places that are filled with tourists. We are off the beaten path.
So, Rhonda, that begs the question, how did you find this little off? I'm an off the beaten path guy myself, but how did you find this little village of 500 people that you take people to? It sounds like a tremendously authentic experience.
It's very authentic, and it was kismet. Colleen and I just kind of like won the lottery. We're fortunate enough to know the previous owners of the company. They started Tuscan Women Cook in the year 2000 because they kept going back to the village. They have three really good restaurants in this tiny little village of 500 people, believe it or not. And they would come back and return year after year to eat at what was once a Michelin-starred restaurant. So they decided to move there. And they decided to create Tuscan Women Cook because once they lived there, they recognized the best meals they were eating were the meals that, you know, their neighbors were cooking for them. So we were lucky benefactors. Bill and Patty Sutherland, the original owners, were very particular about who they wanted to take over and run the business when, you know, after 15 years, they decided it was time to part ways. So they chose us.
What do the folks that you take on your adventures to your culinary immersions, what do they tell you?
What the guests mostly say is that it beats their expectations. They have a great time. They make a lot of lasting friendships with their fellow guests in the week, and they really love the experience.
If you've just tuned in, you caught the Travel Guys here on KFBK. We're talking with Rhonda Velardo. Rhonda is part of a team of ladies called Tuscan Women Cook, and we're talking about this amazing program that they offer to go over to Italy and spend a week immersed in just learning how to cook. Rhonda, you've told us a lot of great things about this wonderful program. Tell us how much it costs.
It costs $4,450 a person. There's a $350 single supplement. So the original tuition covers a double occupancy.
Okay, and the what does that include? Does it include airfare, accommodations, or what does it include? Or what, more importantly, of course, what does it not include?
Well, it actually does not include airfare or getting to our village. So you have to get to our agriturismo that we stay at, and then it includes every single thing for the rest of the week.
And what time of the year do the trips operate?
They operate in spring and fall. We have 6 weeks in the spring and 6 weeks in the fall, which are kind of the high travel weeks because of the weather. The weather's most ideal during these 12 weeks we operate.
Wow. That just sounds amazing. Now, you mentioned that you took over for someone else who had already been doing this for a while. Have you and Colleen been the Tuscan Women Cook for a few years now?
We have. We've been doing this for 4 years now, and we're very, very happy with it.
Looking at your resume, it looks like both of you were very, very successful in your own rights doing, you know, other businesses and real estate and such, and you gave all that up. That had to have been a pretty big step for those that are thinking of, you know, that have an entrepreneurial spirit. What do you have to say?
Well, you kind of need to follow your passion, and both Colleen and I have a great passion for cooking and for entertaining, and we do it at our homes all the time. We have people over, and our favorite thing to do is really cook for people. So it was a natural fit. It was easy to transition from the other careers into this.
Rhonda, what's the very best, what's your favorite part of that week in Tuscany cooking? What part is just, you know, all of us who are tour operators or who take people on kinds of experiences like this, we always have our own favorites. Share one of yours with us.
I think my favorite day is Wednesday. It's actually a day we don't cook. We have an all-day tour of Siena, and the tour is led by a woman who has her doctorate in Sienese history, and she's born and bred in that town, and she speaks beautiful English, and you get a tour. I mean, Colleen and I go every week, and we learn something new. She shows you the Duomo, and she shows us all around Siena. It's magnificent.
You know, Tom, this sounds like a really amazing product. I mean, folks are so into experiential things when it comes to tourism now, and the millennials have taught us all that it's all about the experience. So it doesn't surprise me that Rhonda and Colleen are having success with something like this. I'm sure it's something that some of the folks who are sports leisure travelers would really enjoy.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, if you go on a trip like this, come back with a little spaghetti stains on your hand, it's a good thing.
It is. Rhonda, thank you so much for joining us today. We will tell our listeners that if you have an interest in Tuscan Women Cook and their program, we have a link for you to all of their information at travelguysradio.com. And you can find out all about the program. Give Colleen and Rhonda a call, and perhaps you will be in Tuscany cooking yourself before too long. Rhonda, thank you so much for joining us today on The Travel Guys.
It was a real pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Once again, travelguysradio.com for a link. And Mark, I have a question. The
yes,
question
sir.
Is, you know, this sounds very exciting.
It does.
What about Tuscany men cook?
I mean,
can I sign up?
I don't know, but I know one thing.
Yes.
I know that this sounds so exciting. If there are lots of sports leisure travelers who listen to this program,
mm-hmm.
so if you travel with Sports Leisure Vacations and this sounds good to you, know that we are already working on it, and I wouldn't be surprised if this showed up on our schedule within the next couple months. These ladies have a great product, so if you're looking to maybe go with a small group from Sacramento, you can expect that we might have an update on that. But good point, Tom. At travelguysradio.com, there's links not only to Tuscan Women Cooking, there's links to an article about hotel safety, reasons to get to the airport early. There's all kinds. Did you see the Trivago guy? Did you see that note about... The guy that does Trivago was passed out in his car with the foot on the brake?
No,
you didn't see that.
Oh, my gosh. Is that on Travel Guys Radio?
Apparently, there's a link to that. If you did not hear that, the guy from Trivago, you know, he's always kind of not clean shaven and sort of he's kind of rugged looking and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the all of their commercials since they've started.
Okay, here
well,
it is.
They found him.
Trivago pitchman passed out in a car in a moving lane of traffic.
Uh-huh, with his foot on the brake. So we'll see if he still shows up. Anyway, travelguysradio.com has all of that stuff for you. And coming up next...
We're going to take you to Broadway Under the Stars. Hopefully that's in your future. You're going to find all about it, Jack London State Park, next here on The Travel Guys.
Singular sensation, every little step she takes. One.
Welcome, everyone, and it's Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And about once a year, we get together with our next guest and talk about Broadway Under the Stars. Mark?
We have Steven Stubens from the Broadway Under the Stars folks at Jack London State Park. Now, Tom, you know, we've talked to folks from Jack London for the last couple of years. In fact, we've talked about this Broadway series. But for those of you who might not know, Jack London State Park, you can find it in Glen Ellen. And, Stephen, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about the season that you have coming up. Chorus Line starts it off in June. It looks like you guys have some really outstanding outdoor theater planned for this summer.
You bet. And it's actually exciting. It's in Sonoma County, actually, in Sonoma Valley. And this is our eighth season of doing big Broadway concerts in Jack London State Park, which our company helped save, actually, in 2012. It's gorgeous and historic. There's vineyards and this old ancient winery ruins open to the sky where we do the shows. We basically bring in about 50 different Broadway performers straight from Broadway shows each summer. And each performance starts with pre-show picnicking and food trucks and 8 to 10 wineries pourings. You get to try all these different Sonoma Valley wineries and wine country wines and pre-show musicians. And then it ends up, it all culminates in the actual performance that happens in these old ruined rock walls open to the sky where you see the sun go down over Sonoma Mountain and the lights come up. And it's just been a phenomenal experience for our audiences.
It's really one of, I have to say, having been to a show myself a couple of years ago, it really is one of the great theater venues that you'll ever attend if you're up for an outdoor experience. And really, it's used the word experience. It really is an experience. This is not community theater. Stephen, you mentioned bringing people in from Broadway.
Yeah, all sorts of shows. I mean, we had people from Hamilton and Mamma Mia and Wicked and Les Mis, all these Broadway shows. I was in Mary Poppins myself, and I occasionally...
The point that I'm making is that this is professional theater. It comes with a professional theater price tag, but there are... you can make this an entire evening at Jack London State Park, and I know of folks who have done the whole season. And there are season tickets available, too, we should have mentioned.
Absolutely. You can come to 2 shows, 3 shows, or 4 shows. And it's actually, if you like to hike and if you like the outdoors, it's just the event itself and that park. If you come early and you hike through those trails, they're some of the most beautiful trails I've ever been on. And that space is right where Jack London wrote a lot of his books. And he's, of course, the famous writer who wrote White Fang and Call of the Wild and all these famous books that people still read today.
Well, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Stephen, I noticed on your schedule you have a few events that look like they may be family friendly. The Fantastical Family Nights. How are those different than any other night?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a little bit more about the shows themselves. So our season opens on June 14th, and for the first season, instead of just doing these Broadway reviews that we usually create, like the best of Broadway, we're doing our first ever full book musical, which is A Chorus Line. We've won all these awards for being one of the best dance companies around, and dance is really what makes us sets us apart. So A Chorus Line opens. It's going to be in June, and it's a huge kickoff for us. And then after that, in July, we do our Fantastical Family Night, and as you're mentioning, it is really geared towards children and families. We incorporate some of the kids from our kids camp for a couple songs, but the actual core performers in it are our Broadway performers, and it's a really cool way of the kids and this community of children in like engaging and learning from these amazing performers. And that is July 19th and 20th. And then we do our big dance show. It's called Those Dancing Feet. We do that in August from August 9th to August 25th. It actually is one of the quickest always to sell out because people just love the dance. And then we close our season always with our gala celebration. This year it's September 6th through the 8th. It's kind of a big celebration at the end of the season.
You could go down and make an entire day and an evening of it. In fact, you could easily make a weekend of it. Broadway Under the Stars at Jack London State Park. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we will have a link to where you can get more information and where you can get tickets, just to give you an idea. Tickets range from you can see a show for as little as $45, or you can get premium seats for upwards of $150. And of course, as Stephen mentioned, there's the opportunity for wine tasting and all kinds of fun things to do. Stephen, thank you so much. And if you are so inclined, why come back and talk to us again in a couple months. Let us know how the season is going, and we'll give you another shot to get the word out to our listeners.
Oh, we would love that. And we love welcoming new people to the experience because it is always a great surprise and delight. So, yes.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Again, link at travelguysradio.com.
That sounds like fun. Always does. Every year we talk to those folks. And I've been down there myself to Jack London State Park. So
I'm going to go this year.
Yeah. Well, and we should hustle them for some tickets. We should hustle them for some tickets to give away.
Ooh.
But we've never asked for, like a couple of media tickets.
Well, that's okay. If we can get some to give away to our special Travel Guys
radio
listeners.
Well, then we'll send them, and when they go, they can come back and tell us what they thought instead of us. If you go down, it's really cool because they've got the ruins of the old, if you've ever been down to Jack London State Park, it's really a cool spot to go to. Never mind the theater. I mean, it's just if you were going during the day, it's kind of interesting. Earlier in the show,
We talked about the strangest travel fee that you've ever found. I'm going to sneeze at some point here in a minute or so.
Okay. Well, let me, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to turn my mic off so that all you got to do is mute yours and sneeze.
Okay.
But if I leave my own on, it'll be a sneeze in the distance.
Well, now that we've talked about it, I probably won't sneeze.
Okay.
But if
I do. Put your finger under your nose. Is that what you do to sneeze?
I don't know.
Hold
your
breath.
You're the professional radio guy.
I don't know.
Okay. Earlier in the show, we talked about... a strange travel fee, and this is in New York City. This man found
the charity.
He stayed at the Gregory Hotel recently, and he found something unusual on his bill, and it wasn't the normal $35 a day resort fee that you get for BS and that means nothing in Manhattan, but it was a fee that it was called a tailored fee. And it was to fit it, the hotel was in the garment district in New York, and supposedly this was a donation to a charity to save the garment center,
okay,
in New York City. So I went and I Googled Save the Garment Center in New York City, and indeed there is a charity to save the garment center. It doesn't tell you on the website any way that you can give them money or that you can. It tells consumers how they can kind of support the garment district and the garment center. But how interesting that a hotel, and the gentleman asked, he asked the receptionist about the fee. She couldn't tell him how much of the night's fee went to charity. She said, it's all about fashion. But she didn't even know the name of the charitable organization. So there you go when it comes to strange hotel fees. Summer is coming up. People are going to travel, and they're going to travel internationally, and they're going to use their passport.
Okay.
Quickly here, Travelers United, I joined them a couple months ago, and it's like $29 for the whole year, and they constantly send you really interesting information that if you travel even infrequently, the $29 investment would probably be worth the investment.
Travelers United?
Yeah, it's probably Travelers United. Yeah, travelersunited.org, O-R-G.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was an unsolicited commercial.
So what did you learn since you have been a member?
I learned that even smart travelers make these 8 passport mistakes.
Okay.
Canada and Mexico are indeed foreign countries. Remember that you need a passport to go there. Children's passports, we've mentioned this on the show before, last only 5 years, not 10. This is kind of an interesting thing. Keep your passport in a regular place at home.
A regular place.
Yeah, so you know where it is.
Oh, I see.
So when it comes to the night before you're leaving on the international trip, panic doesn't suddenly set in because you don't know where your passport is. So keep it in a regular place. Don't forget your passport in a hotel room safe.
Ooh.
You get internationally and you're protecting your passport, but you leave it in the safe. Be careful about running out of pages. We've talked about this on the show before. Many countries require blank pages to stamp entry visas. South Africa requires 2 blank pages, period. If you don't have 2 blank pages, you cannot go to South Africa. So that's kind of important. Some countries insist that a passport be valid 3 to 6 months after arrival to enter, and some countries now are even after departure. So good rule of thumb, your passport needs to be valid for 6 months after your date to return home. Always check visa requirements. Those change from time to time. And because our visa requirements have gotten stricter for some countries have reciprocated by making it harder for U.S. citizens to get into their countries. And don't lose track of time. When you get out and you're out traveling, remember that don't lose track of time. That it's a lot. The flat tire rule at the airport because you missed your flight doesn't really apply when you're in a foreign airport.
Yeah, there you go. Easy to do, you know, particularly if you're taking like shore excursions, you know, on cruises and so forth. Lose track of time and not make your way back to the boat.
Exactly. We mentioned from time to time here that we have a website, travelguysradio.com. In fact, if you enjoy this program, there is a podcast every week. We will send you a note when the podcast is ready. You can hear the podcast without the commercials and the news broadcast, so that brings it down to about 45 minutes. You can go to travelguysradio.com and see links to everything that we talk about on the program, including some cool things we don't talk about. Here's a thing here this week about a flight attendant who's helped a mother with an autistic son on a flight, which is really kind of cool. You can leave a comment or ask a question of the Travel Guys. All of that at travelguysradio.com. Next week, We are going to have the director from the Sacramento Airport, Cynthia, and I'm forgetting Cynthia's last name all of a sudden here, is going to join us and be on the program with us next week here on the Travel Guys, Cynthia Nickel.
There you go.
Who has joined us from Portland.
It's going to be good.
It will be good. We'll see you on the program next week. If you have a question to ask Cynthia, leave it at travelguysradio.com.
See you next time.
Laugh, dance like nobody's watching. See you next week.